The reading that follows is an entire chapter in Volume 1 of Arise, Shine, Be Encouraged. Each devotional is followed by the next one. This sound marks that change. You can download this chapter as a whole unit and listen as you exercise or walk or drive. Chapter 10, Humility, Obedience, and Faithfulness. Psalm 51, verse 10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right, persevering, and steadfast spirit within me." And have you completely forgotten the divine word of appeal and encouragement in which you are reasoned with and addressed as sons? "My son, do not think lightly or scorn to submit to the correction and discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage and give up and faint when you are reproved or corrected by him. For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom he loves, and he punishes, even scourges, every son whom he accepts and welcomes to his heart and cherishes. You must submit to and endure correction for discipline. God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not thus train and correct and discipline? Now if you are exempt from correction and left without discipline, in which all of God's children share, then you are illegitimate offspring and not true sons at all." Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 8. Devotional 1, A Servant for the Lord. Are you faithful and dedicated? In Numbers 3, verses 5 through 7, we read, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Bring the tribes of Levi near, and set them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him. They shall perform the duties for him and for the whole congregation before the tent of meeting to do the service of the tabernacle." Why did God choose the tribe of Levi and not another to serve under Aaron and in the Lord's house? To answer this question and understand the significance of God's regard for the Levites, we must look back to a time when the Israelites rebelled against God. In Exodus chapter 32, we see that the Levites exhibited a supreme act of faithfulness and dedication to the Lord by taking the life of 3,000 friends and relatives who had been disobedient and worshipped the golden calf. Excerpts from this passage, verses 25 through 29, read, "Now when Moses saw that the people were out of control, then Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, Whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And all of the sons of Levi gathered together to him. He said to them, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, Go back and forth and kill every man his brother and every man his friend. So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed. Then Moses said, Dedicate yourselves today to the Lord." Child of God, how far will you go to demonstrate your love for and obedience to the Lord? Will you be faithful to God even when the personal cost is high? Will you risk your business, your reputation, finances, security, and welfare? Are you willing to serve only when it is easy and convenient? Or will you do what God requires even when it is hard? Obedience always carries a price of personal sacrifice. God proved how far he was willing to go by sacrificing his son on the cross for us. Ask God to speak to you today about your level of obedience and faithfulness. Like the Levites, dedicate yourself and become a servant for the Lord. The cost may be great, but the rewards are far greater, as God will reward you for all eternity with riches in heaven. Lord, thank you for this lesson on faithfulness and dedication. Jesus, you are the supreme example of faithfulness. Teach me to be faithful, and help me to be willing to pay whatever price of sacrifice you ask of me. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 10, Devotional 2, Who is Operating Your Controls? Submission and Surrender. In Galatians 5, verse 25 is written, "If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit." Like most boys his age, my 10-year-old nephew loves to play with remote-controlled toys. Whenever I watch him play with his car, I'm reminded that the toy does not have a mind of its own. It does exactly what my nephew tells it to do through the remote. There are times I certainly wish I had someone operating the controls in my life. My pastor often says God is a very courteous gentleman. He'll never force you to do anything. Looking back on my life, I see clearly all the times I had the controls in my hands. Things did not turn out well. I seemed always to do this. 1. Crash. 2. Go off the path and get lost. 3. Find myself behind immovable objects. 4. Get stuck in reverse. 5. Go around in circles, never getting anywhere. My life seemed to be filled with endless starts and stops. The more I grow in Christ, the more I am learning to surrender the controls to Him. I'm thankful that I'm not only willing to hand over the remote, but before I start my day, I invite the Holy Spirit to operate my controls. Life in His hands is so much easier. I never have hard crashes. In His hands, my power never runs out. His pace is always perfect. The path He chooses is always smooth and free of obstacles. He always gets me where I need to be on time. I look forward to the journey each day as the Holy Spirit operates the controls in my life. I have peace and joy in His hands that I never had before. Child of God, how about you? How is your journey? Is it time to hand off the remote to the Holy Spirit? I encourage you to decide today to trust God and surrender your life to Him. Invite Him to take over and operate your controls. You'll be glad you did. Lord, thank you for waiting patiently for me to surrender my life to you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. My life is so much easier with the Holy Spirit operating the controls. Lead, guide, and direct me as you choose. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 10, Devotional 3, Jesus Followed Orders, Love-Based Obedience. John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18, For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my own life to take it back again. No one takes it away from me. On the contrary, I lay it down voluntarily. I put it from myself. I am authorized and have power to lay it down, to resign it, and I am authorized and have power to take it back again. These are the instructions, orders, which I have received as my charge from my Father. Jesus tells us that He followed the instructions or orders that He had been given by His Father. We know from Scripture that Jesus never did anything or said anything on His own initiative. He always asked for instructions before taking action. He always followed God's instructions completely, no matter what, even on the cross. Lastly, He followed orders with a willing heart. As I read this verse, I'm reminded of my own relationship with my Father. It was very difficult and painful at times, filled with physical and emotional abuse, followed by long periods of silence and withdrawal on both sides. I'm confident that I was a good son in many ways, but I failed in comparison to the standard set by Jesus. I confess I often followed my dad's orders out of fear, certainly not because I aimed to please. I obeyed reluctantly with dread and hesitation. As a Christian, we can turn to Jesus. He set the standard for all father-son relationships, communication, and obedience. As God's son, Jesus showed us how to do these. 1. Stop and ask for direction and guidance. 2. Express love and compassion for others. 3. Deny self-interests and put others first. 4. Sacrifice ourselves for the benefit of others. 5. Walk in excellence and faithfulness. 6. Speak the truth in love. 7. Do what is right because it's right. 8. Willingly commit our lives to God. Child of God, I encourage you to ask God to speak to you about His desires for you in terms of father-son relationship and communication. Ask Him to reveal any areas in your life where you need to learn how willingly to obey and follow orders. Lord, thank you for the life of Jesus and His lessons on being a faithful son. Jesus, teach me about willing and faithful obedience so that I, like you, might follow your instructions at all times. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 10, Devotional 4, Above Reproach, Held to a Higher Standard. In Titus, chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, we see, "For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, pugnacious, fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict." In the first verse of this passage, Paul says that the overseer, the bishop, the deacon, elder, or leader, must be above reproach. Webster's dictionary defines reproach as to find fault with a person, to blame or censure, disapprove or bring discredit upon oneself or family. I have developed a deep respect for Paul's teaching on the character and behavior of leaders. As an executive coach, a ministry leader, disciple teacher, and husband, I have learned that God holds me to a higher standard. Paul is very clear about what the standard is, to be above reproach. As leaders in our church, Karen and I understand that our actions are on display to our congregation, to those we serve, and most of all to God. I confess that for many years of my life as a prodigal son, I was unconcerned and ignorant of this standard. Now I regularly examine my thoughts and behavior to see if I measure up. I ask the Holy Spirit to convict me any time my actions are not pleasing to God, and to help me change my thinking and actions to align with God's word. God has shown me what is at stake and helped me to understand why His standards of accountability for leaders and teachers are so high. While I do not want to bring dishonor to my wife and family, I especially do not want to dishonor God. I pray daily that God will help me to glorify and honor Him in all I do and say, and that I will be pleasing in His sight. Child of God, what about you? Are you meeting God's standard of excellence in your public and private life? I encourage you to ask Him to give you the grace through faith to live a life above reproach. Lord, thank you for the power and truth of your word. Jesus, help me to imitate you in all I do and say. Help me to walk in holiness according to your word and to be pleasing to you in every way. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 10, Devotional 5. Will you do exactly what you're told? Jesus followed orders. John 12, verses 49 through 50 tell us, "For I did not speak of my own accord, but my Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that His command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." There seems to be at least one employee who defies this description on every team. This person will argue and debate with you about everything you say. They're always difficult to deal with, and the last person you want to go and ask to volunteer, to stay late, to come in early, to put a rush on the order, it seems, "Yes, okay, sure. No problem," or "I'll be happy to," is beyond their capability. This verse gets my attention every time I read it. Jesus, the obedient and faithful Son, always said and did exactly what God instructed. As leaders and managers, we strive to lead others in the pursuit of a common goal or purpose. We give instructions and expect our employees to comply because we want to achieve our goal. As parents, we give our children instructions about 1. Washing dirty hands before dinner, 2. Brushing their teeth before bed, 3. Looking both ways before crossing the street, 4. What to do when approached by strangers, 5. The importance of using seat belts and obeying speed limits when driving, 6. Sexual abstinence and saying no to drugs and alcohol. We give these instructions because we love them and we want them to be safe and flourish. Looking back at my life, I never got in trouble, but had numerous acts of rebellion as a child of the 60s. I praise God that I'm at a place where I desire to do and say exactly what God tells me. Not halfway, mostly, sort of, but exactly. I'm learning it takes constant focus. I intentionally move more slowly. Now, I'm learning to stop and ask God for directions before I take action or speak. The more I do it, the easier it gets. Have you asked Jesus to lead and guide your every step and every word that you speak? Do you follow his instructions? If your answer is not exactly, I encourage you to start today. Lord, thank you for leading and guiding my steps and the words of my mouth. Jesus, teach me to be faithful and obedient and to copy you in all I do and say. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 10, Devotional 6. Are you a deserter or a faithful follower? Do not quit. In Galatians 1, verse 6, we read, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Paul takes issue with Christians who desert Jesus and turn from the gospel of Christ. Dictionary.com defines the word desert as to fail someone at the time of need, to abandon, forsake, or leave behind persons, places, or things, to intentionally violate an oath, a formal obligation, or duty, to give up wholly and completely. Desertion seems to come easy to many people in our culture. We see it in the numbers of 1, people who run away from the commitment and responsibilities of marriage because they are no longer in love and marriages become difficult. In absentee fathers who have abandoned wives and children and failed to provide financial and emotional support. 3, in students who drop out of high school and college because education and learning is hard work. 4, in people who walk off their jobs in frustration because their expectations of entitlement, promotion, and increase are not being met. 5, in church members who become offended, upset, and move from church to church, but never get engaged and serve. Like Paul, I am amazed at the number of Christians in general and ministry leaders who abandon their faith, leave their post, and walk away over issues of personal offense and unwillingness to submit to authority. The more I serve in ministry, the more I understand the urge to desert, to give up, cave in, quit. I praise God that as I grow in Christ Jesus, the more resolved I become to follow him and obey his call on my life, no matter what. Child of God, I encourage you to ask God to speak to you about any area of your life where you have deserted your post. Ask God to tell you what to do and move from a deserter to a faithful follower. Lord, thank you for your calling on my life. Jesus, your faithfulness encourages me. Teach me to be faithful and obedient in all my assignments and commitments, and to resist the urge to desert my post. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 10, Devotional 7. Ask God to be your master gardener. Pruning is a necessity. From John 15, verses 1 and 2, we learn, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit, so to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. I know the importance of starting with a clean slate, blank page. While this sounds simple and easy, it's very difficult. Even when it is negative and causes them pain, people hang on to their past. I've learned to be patient and kind as I assist my clients and teach them to let go of old tapes, ways of thinking and behaving, hurts and disappointments. I convince them that before they can rebuild their lives, they have to inspect their foundation, repair and seal all cracks, forgive themselves and others, and let go of any regrets, guilt, and condemnation. In 2006, a year before Karen and I were married, we attended a 4-day ministry conference that offered prophetic sessions. Curious, we agreed to participate and listen to each other's session. I was awed by the words spoken over Karen. In contrast, I walked away despondent and frustrated. I remember telling her, "He kept repeating the need for intense pruning and purging in my life." Karen and I have commented about the truth of those words many times. The 5 years after the session were filled with powerful revelation, emotional upheaval, and spiritual growth. God, the Master Gardener, did indeed prune and purge many areas of my life. He renewed my mind with His Word and destroyed strongholds and addictions. I praise God that He gave me the grace to change. I bear little resemblance to the man I used to be. Like Saul, I have become a new man, a new creature in Christ. Friends who haven't seen me in a while remark, "You've changed. You're very different now." Or, "You seem to have so much peace in your life now." God deserves all the glory and honor for the transformation. He is truly the Master Gardener. If you let Him, He will prune and purge you. Trust Him and watch Him give you an abundant, fruit-bearing life. Lord, thank You for the pruning and purging in my life. Continue to shape me and mold me according to Your perfect will, that I may bear much fruit. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 10, Devotional 8, Pride and Arrogance, Satan's Calling Cards. Luke chapter 9, verse 46 reads, "An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest." Satan must have stalked Jesus and his disciples. It's clear that Satan was very busy and actively engaged in his assault and attempts to cause the disciples to walk in fear and doubt and to rob them of their destiny. Reading Luke, we know that on two previous occasions the disciples failed to effectively use the power and authority Jesus gave them. They failed to feed the multitude. Instead, they sat back as Jesus performed a miracle, and they failed to cast out demons in the young boy. Yet, rather than acknowledge their failure, repent, walk in humility, they allowed themselves to copy Satan and turned their thoughts to a prideful and selfish desire for status and position, power, and recognition. As an executive coach and ministry leader, I've witnessed this scene play out many times in the lives of my clients and fellow Christians. In the spiritual realm, pride and arrogance and humility and submission are mortal enemies. Pride and arrogance always mask an underlying insecurity, fear, and lack of confidence. It expresses itself in a selfish desire to manipulate, control, and take advantage of others. A prideful and arrogant attitude looks in the mirror and says, "I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. You are the problem." Pride and arrogance are Satan's calling cards. Child of God, I encourage you to ask God to reveal any area of your life where you have turned away from God and are walking in pride and arrogance. Repent and come before God with a humble, clean, and pure heart and ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him to give you a servant leader's heart and strive to grow in Christ, knowing the greatest is alive and well within you. Lord, thank You for Your loving heart. Jesus, Your life is the model I strive to copy. Teach me to walk in humility and to turn away from pride and arrogance. I'm comforted knowing that You are alive and reside in me. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.